Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you this morning. There's one thing that didn't make it on the announcements, and that's our men's conference coming up on the 13th and 14th of March. It's a Friday, Saturday, and it's up in Rock Hill. And if you'd like to be a part of that, like to go with us, there's a few of us guys going. We would love to have you join us. You'll have to see Israel after the service. Is Israel in here right now? I know. He just walked out. Israel's walking out. Just look for Israel. See this guy right there? Look at him. Handsome guy. Just look for the handsome guy. And there's only one here at Vibe. He's it. But so if you'll see Israel, he'll get you information on that. Also, hey, every Sunday, these are on your chair. We call them invite cards. It's an opportunity for you to invite someone to Vibe and to experience Vibe Church. It's be a part of our family just to get to experience that. And we're so glad for those of you who are here for the first time. We welcome you. This morning, we're going to dive into God's Word, and I believe we're going to learn something. We're going to learn some truths from God's Word that have the ability to transform our lives if we'll embrace them. We're really big here at Vibe about taking next steps and putting into practice the Word of God and not just learning more information, right? Because all of us, if we would just do a part of what we already know, it would be transformational, right? I would be 40 pounds lighter, yeah. I know I shouldn't snack at night, but it's my, just love to do it. It's my, thing. Some people smoke pot. I eat cookies, whatever. Just kidding. It's probably not the same. But anyway, I went downhill from there. But, we're big on just taking those next steps. And so if you haven't come to group church on Wednesday nights, you're missing out. We have a great time. We eat together. We spend a little time in worship, and we break into different groups that are going on. And then we come back together, and not everyone, but people share, like, what's my next step? What am I going to do with what I learned tonight? It's a great time, and so we invite you to come out 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. So, 10 years ago, this year is our 10-year anniversary, and 10 years ago, Vibe Church started as this crazy idea that God birthed inside of my heart and my mind, and I believe Jesus meant what he said when he said, "I've come that you might have life and live it to the fullest." The name Vibe is actually a Latin word. It's actually pronounced vive, and it's for those of you who speak Spanish, it means life. It means to live, and that's what we are about. I believe that we should be a church that is life-giving, right? And we should be bringing people to life. That's our purpose. You see it everywhere, and we're intentional about that because if we're not bringing people to life, if we're not a life-giving church, if you feel like when you come to church, you're feeling like something's being sucked out of you instead of breathed into you, then something's wrong. And I believe that that church should be life-giving and that we should bring people to life. But 34 years ago, I walked into a church for the first time. Not that I'd never been to church before that, but I grew up kind of in a religious home. But as a 16-year-old kid walking into a church that was a life-giving church, something powerful happened in my life. I felt God's presence for the very first time. But in the midst of all that, I thought that I was the only one in that church that was broken. See, I had a lot of secrets, a lot of dirty little secrets. And I wasn't living for Jesus, not even close. And I was responding to a lot of pain in my life. I thought I was the only one in that room that questioned God. See, my dad passed away when I was 14, and so it was just 2 years prior, and I was very angry at God, and I had a lot of questions, and I couldn't understand why God would take my father. And so there I sat in the church listening and being a part of that, but I thought I was the only one with those questions. I was the only one with the doubts. I thought I was the only one that had issues and was broken, right? I mean, the way that the people talked, and they were sweet people, but the way they talked and the way the pastor talked and the things that he preached, it really made me wonder, what am I doing here? I don't think like that. I don't live like that. But here's the thing, is that I wanted to belong. I wanted so badly to belong. I thought that this wasn't a place for people like me. You know, being angry at God, being out of control sexually. I had no direction. I had no purpose. I had a heart full of doubts. And I never felt safe to let people know who I really was. But I wanted to belong. And I think our need to belong is a fundamental need that every one of us has. Every human being is wired that way. That need to be a part. Now I know that if you're here for the first time, I know you're probably looking for a perfect church. And if you join Vive, it won't be perfect anymore. Not that we're perfect. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. But the day I find a perfect church, or the day you find a perfect church, you're going to mess it up, right? Because there are no perfect churches. We all have things. And that's, I've learned a lot over the years, over the 34 years. One is that we all have our issues. We all have our baggage. You know, if church is a place, though, and I believe this firmly, that churches should be a place where you belong. That when you walk in the door, you feel a sense of belonging. And this is probably the best way I can describe it, is if you don't feel like you've come to your family reunion, then we're doing something wrong as a church. I get put in a lot of situations as a pastor. I do weddings and funerals and different events where I'm like, you know, like I don't know anybody but maybe the one or two people that are getting, you know, the people that are getting married or you know, maybe a few people when there's a funeral or some event. And I feel a lot of times as a pastor what people come to church for the first time feel, because they don't know anybody, and it feels like you're at somebody else's family reunion. You know, you're standing around and waiting for somebody to talk to you, and you're like, oh man, you know. And I don't ever want anyone to feel that way. I think that it should be our goal. It should be who we are. Should be our mark that everyone belongs. How many would agree with that? Anybody disagree? I mean, anybody disagree? I didn't think so. Of course we believe that, right? Of course, that's the kind of church we want. That's the kind of church we want to invite our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors to. We want to know that if I invite my neighbor to church, that it's not just going to be me that's talking to them, but they're going to be loved and they're going to be accepted. They're going to feel like they belong. Now, if church is a place where you can belong, if it's a place where I can belong, then it's also a place where other people can belong. Here's where we start getting in the thick of it. Because other people are different than you, right? Other people vote Democrat or Republican. Other people, I had to go there, but they're different. We're all different. Other people that allow their kids to destroy your house when they come over, there are other people, right? See, other people can belong too. People that have the ability to make a complete sentence out of curse words. They can belong, right? It's like, oh, well, no, not them, you know? No, everybody can belong. See, if I can belong, if you can belong, then other people can belong. People who are attracted to the same sex. I'm getting in the thick of it. Just tell me when I, you know, those people don't belong when I get to it. Maybe people who aren't even sure that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Or how about people that question the Bible? people that are hard to get along with. I mean, if church is a place where people can belong, then it's a place where everyone can belong. Right? I know I'm stirring it up, right? This is exactly who Jesus was. And it got him into trouble because he really rubbed the religious people the wrong way. These are folks who had very sincere hearts. They were very passionate about God, and they devoted their entire lives to living for God and obeying the law, the scriptures. And those people were very passionate about God. And when you look at them on the outside, you say, wow, those are amazing people. And they've really dedicated so much of their time and energy and their life to honoring and following and obeying God. But Jesus rubbed them the wrong way. And they rubbed Jesus the wrong way. And there was a conflict. There was something there was always something going on. And they would accuse Jesus of being a sinner because he ate with tax collectors. People who, you know, the tax collector was a Jewish person who ended up collecting taxes for the Roman government who oppressed the Jewish people. And they were like, you know, like they were the worst of the worst to these religious folks. And then there was that woman caught in adultery. And then there was that person who had leprosy. And according to the law, you couldn't touch them. You know, they were not people who belonged. And if they ever came into their gatherings, they were quickly ushered out. See, Jesus tended to hang out with those people, and he got accused of being a sinner because of it. But see, this is who Jesus was, and I believe this is what the church has to be. Because we represent Jesus. This is his church. This isn't our church. This isn't our thing. It's his church. See, here's where churches and individuals, here's where we and as collectively as a church, here's where we struggle. There are two different camps. There's the church for church people. They preach the truth without grace. Its members are proud of their obedience to the rules. They're a tight-knit group, small but very tight. And the list of things that they are against is longer than the list of things that they're for. And here's what their core values would be expressed like. It's, if you believe like us and you behave like us, then you might belong with us. They come across as judgmental, legalistic, and they find it really easy to point out everyone's failures and shortcomings except their own, right? Now, I would think that most people here this morning would be like, oh, man, I wouldn't go to a church like that. Wouldn't be a part of that. But there is something, and we'll get into talking about it in just a second. There is something that lures us into that, believe it or not. Then there's the other church. There's the liberal church where everyone is welcome. Sounds good so far, right? There are no rules. Oops. Do whatever you want. There's no judgment here. It's a group that's always drinking from the fountain of grace because they're always swimming in the cesspool of sin. See, their mantra or their core value would be, no one's perfect. I'm only human. Don't judge me. And the truth of Scripture is avoided or suppressed because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. Their core values would be this. You can belong with us because it doesn't matter what you believe or how you behave. And there are churches like that. I don't want to create any confusion in your heads. When I talk about a place to belong, I'm not talking about the extreme. See, I believe, you know, the things that, when it comes to our behavior, when it comes to grace, when it comes to truth and the scripture, this is a balancing act that we have to be careful with. And that's what we're talking about it this morning, this balancing act that every person has to manage. When we first, I've shared this story before, but when we first moved to Columbia, we moved into a neighborhood just around the corner, and I remember Kaylin, just a little kid at that point, maybe 9 or 10 years old, and she was outside playing with the kids, and she was still tough, you know, she's playing football with these little boys, and she come in, and she's like, you know, I don't want to play with them anymore. I'm like, what happened, you know? And she said, well, they cuss, and I don't want to play with them anymore, because, you know, I don't think it's right to cuss. And so, I wanted kind of the initial reaction, you know, my thoughts were, wow, that's great. Yeah, stay here. We'll protect you and keep you insulated from that. But I felt like the Holy Spirit said something to me and said, who's gonna reach those little kids? And that's hard when you're looking at a 9 or 10-year-old and you think, well, they're not quite, you know, where they need to be at 9 or 10 years old. And, you know, and so I tried to have this conversation and with her and share with her that, you know what, they need Jesus. We can't just run from everybody who's different from us. We can't hide ourselves from everybody who's different from us. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we in the church can fall into that. It's a tension, it's a balancing act that we have. And, you know, the thought of, like, sending my child back out to, and I didn't tell her, you're going to go out there, you know, but she did. She went back out. But she went back out with an understanding that they need to know about Jesus. See, it's the balancing act that every person has to maintain, and it's the balancing act that every church has to maintain. It's the balancing act between grace and truth. And it's not a new struggle. It's been around from the very beginning. In Acts chapter 15, there's a story, and I'll look at a passage of scripture in just a moment in Acts 15:5, but let me kind of build this up and explain what's going on. Paul and Barnabas are in the city of Antioch, and they are at the church there, and some men from Samaria who are believers, they come and they start doing some teaching in the church in Antioch. And their teaching is this, that unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now that was bad news for all of those folks who were not Jewish. As adults, if you're not circumcised, then you're not really saved. And so Paul and Barnabas, they argue with these guys, and then all of a sudden, you know, the church in Antioch sends Paul and Barnabas as delegates to Jerusalem to meet about this issue. And so they arrive in Jerusalem, and they meet with the church elders, with the apostles, There's this gathering. We don't know how long it went on, but they're meeting together, and they're discussing this issue of do people who are Gentiles, do they need to be circumcised? Do they have to obey the law in order to be saved? And this was a tension and a struggle and a balancing act that the early church had to wrestle through. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 5, it says, but then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted. Now, there was a group of Pharisees who had put their faith in Jesus, even though they got, you know, they rubbed the wrong way. They finally said, okay, yes, Jesus really is the Messiah. And they became Christians. They became followers of Jesus. And so they were known as a sect of Pharisees that were following Jesus. And they stood up and they insisted, Gentile converts, verse 5, must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. And then Peter in verse 8 speaks up. He said, God knows people's hearts. And he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles, but by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 19, James, the brother of Jesus, stands up and he says, "And so my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." Those are powerful words. That we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Now, I've been in churches where it seems like that's the goal. Let's make it as difficult as we can for someone to follow Jesus, to turn to God. And I've been in churches where you wonder, are they really even turning to God? I've been in both extremes. I don't believe that we should make it difficult. I think we should follow the judgment, the word from James, that don't make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. So Peter, James, does that mean there's no rules, right? Does it mean that it's just all about grace? No. It's a balancing act. It's about truth and grace. It's about both. But if you've noticed, those are polar opposites. See, truth is something that is exclusive. It's very narrow. Truth exposes your sin, my sin. But truth makes me holy. It makes me holy. See, grace, though, is all-inclusive, right? It's wide-reaching. Grace doesn't expose my sin, but it covers it. And I need my sin covered, and you need your sin covered. That's why we lean on and fall on the grace of God, right? But grace makes us humble. It should make us humble because we realize that without God's grace, we're all toast. There's not one person who can do it without the grace of God. And so truth makes us holy. Grace makes us humble. See, the casualty in a church for church people is grace. Let me say it again. The casualty in a church for church people is grace. But the casualty in a liberal church is truth. And Jesus didn't come to strike some kind of balance. He didn't come he didn't come to choose one side of truth or grace, but he came to bring a balance between them. He brought the full measure of both of those. In John chapter 1, verse 1, let me read it. I don't know if it's on it. Oh, it is there. Okay. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's speaking of Jesus. In verse 14, "The Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth." So Jesus came full of grace and truth. He was the perfect example of someone who could balance between the two. And this is where each and every one of us, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we grow as a church, we have to keep that balance. I can't tell you how many times it's so easy as a church. It's so easy individually. I'll speak first about the church. It's easy for us to get off that balance. As we begin to grow in our relationship with the Lord. I've watched it. I've watched families. I've watched you all as you, there are many of you that came to Vive just, no church experience, background, no relationship with the Lord, came to Jesus, came to life, growing in your relationship with the Lord. And all of a sudden, you start to realize it's like, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. But yet there's a group of people that are around you, and they still do that. And you start to feel that tension. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, hey, we're best friends, but we don't want to do that stuff anymore. And so there's this tension all of a sudden because you're growing and you don't want to do those things. And it's real easy, as a church, to start excluding people, to start saying, you know what, everyone belongs except for, because they don't fit into where we're at and where we want to be, right? And we feel that tension constantly. If you're not feeling that tension, something's wrong. See, I believe that's right where we need to be. We need to be right in the middle of that. That's what it means to balance grace and truth. Individually, it can be challenging for us, right? Because we're growing in our we're growing in our relationship with the Lord. We're reading God's word. We're embracing the truth of Scripture, and we're not just, you know, hearing it and it's going in one ear and out the other, but we're embracing the truth of Scripture, and we're, you know, it's changing us, it's transforming us like it should do, and we're not doing the things that we used to do before, and it's really easy for us to start to insulate ourselves. It's really easy for us to not be intentional about spending time with people who are maybe others. And there's a struggle. It's real, right? I'm sure that every one of us has gone through that. We've all been there. If you haven't, you're going to be there as you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And so there's this tension and this balancing that you and I have to manage. See, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He said over 75 times, I tell you the truth. Over 25 times, truly, truly. Truth is very important. You know, the Jews had over 600 laws and rules that they had to follow. And Jesus gave his disciples just one. He said, a new command I give you. And they're like, oh, really? Another one? No, it's a new command. I give you this just one. If you'll do this, it'll cover every one of those 600. Love one another as I've loved you. So we just sit around, listen to the Beatles. All we need is love. No, it's not as hippie as that. But love is a very powerful, real thing. And when it comes to balancing truth and grace, see, love is where we meet in the middle. This new command that Jesus gave just simplified everything. Simplified all the laws, all 600 of them. But it didn't make it easy, did it? Sometimes I wish it's like God, can I just follow the law, because it'd be a whole lot easier. You know, you just know the commands. But love pushes us, doesn't it? Because you're like, man, if you think Jesus made it easy, you are mistaken. He simplified it, but he didn't make it easy. He made it tougher for us. Love is that filter for us that just it covers both grace and truth. And I think the question that you and I should always ask, the question that will keep us right in the middle and keep us balanced between truth or grace, right? Because there are those of you who are on the side of truth, and we think like, we all are, right? No, you know, you're you know, like, man, I gotta do this right and this right and this right and, you know, this right. And then there's those that are kind of on the side of grace, right? It's like, I love grace. Love grace. And we you know, it's easy to get on one side or the other. But what keeps us right in the middle, what keeps us balanced, is love. I think it's important for us to make our move towards the middle and to ask ourselves this question. This is the question that, you know, what does love require of me? When you're faced with a situation, when you're faced with a maybe a difficult person, and you're starting to feel that tension in your life, listen, we as a church, I as a pastor, I feel that tension. I know what God's word says. And I'm not going to compromise it. I'm not going to suppress it. But I know how broken humanity is. And so managing that tension of, God, I want to see people grow and encounter truth because I know it'll transform their lives, but they're not right. They're not there yet. And sometimes we get impatient with people. Have you ever gotten impatient? You're like, come on, you've been in church for a whole year. What's your problem? Why are you still doing that? And we get impatient and we want to, you know. But what manages and or what helps us to balance grace and truth is, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? See, if we'll make the move towards the middle, if we'll make our move towards love, we learn to live in that tension between grace and truth. Let me tell you something. You're never going to resolve the tension between grace and truth. You hear me? You're never going to resolve the tension. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, as you read His word, and you should be every day, as you're obeying and honoring and following God's word, and you're growing in your relationship with Him, and He's transforming you, you're never going to resolve the tension between grace and truth. There's always going to be that tension. I think it happens even more as we get closer to the Lord. We start to see, man, that person could be living a totally different life if they would just embrace God's word and His truth, and it would transform them. And you start to see things that, you know, can really help people, and you want to kind of force it a little bit. And you want to, it's easy to, for churches to, you know, like, let's make some rules, right? How many of you like rules? You're not raising your hand, but there are a group of you. I don't like rules, but. How many of you like policy manuals? Come on, be honest with me. There's some of you that I know who you are, you know, but we're all wired differently, okay? But it's easy for us to want to just as a church to make rule, like, okay, we're gonna, you know, make a rule for that. Let's make a rule for that, and let's put a post-it note on here and post a note on that. Let's just make rules for everything. And I think what we need to do, instead of having just add one more rule to the book, because that's exactly what the Pharisees did. That's why they had 600 laws and not just the 10 commandments, is we need to have more conversation. We need to ask ourselves, what does love require of me? And we need to have more adult conversations. We need to challenge one another. We need to encourage one another and spur one another towards love and good deeds, right? That's what Scripture says. So having more conversations with people instead of just making rules. But what does love require of me? As we embrace the full weight of grace, as we embrace the full weight of truth, I don't know what next step you need to take this morning, where you need to bring balance. But if you find there's a tendency for you to be judgmental or legalistic, if you find that it's real easy for you to point out everyone else's failures and shortcomings except for your own, then you might want to embrace that full weight of God's grace for you and for everyone around you. If you have a tendency of falling short of God's standard, if you find yourself many times on the side of bad choices more than good ones, if you say things like, no one's perfect, I'm only human, if you're a regular visitor at the fountain of grace, you might want to embrace the full weight of God's truth. See, truth makes me holy. Grace makes me humble. But love makes me like Jesus. And that's our goal, isn't it? To be like Jesus. Can you imagine a church where everyone that walks through the doors has a deep sense of belonging, no matter what? Can you imagine that? That doesn't happen unless we ask ourselves an important question. What does love require of me? It has to be intentional. Can you imagine that those same people who come in and feel that sense of belonging, who once walked through the door as a guest and a visitor, who were distant from God when they came in, broken and empty, now come into life and bringing other people to life. Can you imagine that? Of course you can, because you see it all the time. That's what we're about. That's what we do. That's who we are as a church. That's who we're going to keep being. Amen? That's who we're going to be. But it doesn't happen. People don't come to life without the truth. They don't grow in their relationship with God without the truth of Scripture. And the truth can be painful at times because it goes against how we're living and things that we're doing. It transforms us. I believe there's some steps that we need to take, all of us. What's your next step? Would you stand with me? What's your next step? What step do you need to take in your relationship with the Lord? Maybe this morning you need to take the first step, and that is a step towards Jesus. Maybe this morning you need to step back into a relationship with Jesus. Something happened along the way. Maybe you need to step into grace. Maybe you need to step into truth. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I want to pray for you. Maybe this morning you need to take a step towards Jesus. Father, God, I pray for faith. I pray for courage, for strength, that you would fill the hearts of those who you're drawing, that you're speaking to right now, that you're tugging on their hearts. If that's you this morning, you say, I need to take a step towards Jesus. No one's looking around. It's just you, me, and God. You say, Pastor Randy, that's me. I want to step towards Jesus this morning. Would you lift up your hand? Would you just let me see who you are so I can pray with you? Anyone else? I want to pray with you and agree with you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Let's pray together. Keep your hands up. Say, Jesus, today I take a step towards you. Today I put my faith, my trust in you. Today I give you my heart. Today I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Father, I thank you for those that raised their hands and prayed that prayer this morning. I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide them and lead them and direct them and just infuse life into them. You said, Lord, that you have come that they might live life to the fullest. And I pray that you would let them experience that right now, today, in Jesus' name. And Father, for all of us today, God, wherever we're at, if we need to take a step into grace and just be reminded of your grace, not only for our own lives, but for the people around us. God, maybe this morning we need to take a step into truth and step towards truth and embrace truth and allow that truth to transform us, to make us holy. Father, we surrender to you. God, help us to live that balance. What does love require of me?
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.